So, I really have to wonder, I really have to ask, if Santa's elves, if Santa's helpers even know me at all. There's a lovely new Advent calendar, quote-unquote, it's stockings, that line the banister to and from the basement where my studio is. And every day, a little stocking has a little treat in there for me, which is lovely, and I appreciate Santa's helpers doing that for me. But today's treat was a stick of chocolate with Pop Rocks in it. You remember Pop Rocks. They explode in your mouth, do all kinds of weird, wacky, wonderful things as your saliva gets on them. I can't eat that before I come on the air. Like I said, do you even know me at all? Like, talk about the ultimate tease. Here's a beautiful, large stick of chocolate, Pop Rocks. Can you imagine? I'm talking away, and all you hear is this little crack, pop, fizz sound coming out of my mouth into the microphone. That would be extremely strange. Anyway, hi, welcome to It's Your Call, brought to you by McCarthy Automotive. McCarthy Automotive. Putting the good under your hood. Auto maintenance and repair, fleet vehicle specialists as well. You know what? It's not too late for your winter tires. I know. The snow that we got, especially on the roads, has melted for the most part, but we're not out of the woods yet. Let's face facts, all right? So if you're looking for new winter tires, all major brands are offered there, but vehicle maintenance, repairs, et cetera, as well. And yes, they are your fleet vehicle specialists. 1150 Heron Road. Torque your nuts, says F. Van Boxel. See, look at that. I've taught you well already about McCarthy Automotive. All right, listen, today, and by the way, thank you for your comment on Facebook. I was beginning to wonder, is there anybody actually out there? It shows a bunch of people logged on and listening and watching, but y'all are so quiet. I know. You too have an advent calendar, and you got like the stick of chocolate with Pop Rocks, and you can't speak. See, that's the thing. I really am spoiled beyond belief that that's even a thing for me at all. And if you listen to my Carrie and the Milkman morning show, you know that I'm having some advent calendar issues. The advent calendar I have had for a good number of years, suddenly made its way to the door to my niece's bedroom. My niece, who has been living with us since September to attend university. Yes, she has my advent calendar, and I'm not pleased. But I'm keeping my mouth shut, clearly, about it. I want to see that chocolate treat. I want one now. I'll get you. keep your eyes peeled on my Facebook. I will get that for you. Don't do advent calendars as most have chocolates or booze. Yes. By the way, I do a lovely advent calendar for my bride. I don't do 24 days. I do 12 days. 12 bottles of wine. And I pick them just because, first off, because the wine rack in the kitchen holds 12 bottles. But I pick them based on the label. It says something. I love the stories, right? It doesn't even have to be a good bottle of wine. It's got a fun label, an interesting story. That's kind of cool. Donald's here. Chrissy's here. Chrissy's all excited. The CFL has released their schedule. That kills me, by the way, Chrissy. I got the email, deleted it. I'm not even bothering with the CFL. I'm over it. But it kills me. They can tell you what their season is going to be beginning in, what, June? But it's, like a week ahead of the Grey Cup where they can tell you who's going to be the Grey Cup halftime show. See, the CFL is just bonkers. All right, listen, this is not what I want to talk about. I do want to get into rumors. And generally speaking, I don't like rumors. But this rumor has been out there for a while, and PSAC is denying the rumor. And yet, it persists. So, yes, I want to talk about the public service. Should they be back in their offices? Now, if I'm the Spark Street or the Bank Street BIA or the Byward Market BIA or OC Transpo, etc., yes, let's get some bodies back in downtown Ottawa. But don't forget, the public service, they're across Canada. They're not just here in Ottawa. Now, Ottawa being the capital, of course, majority of our workforce is. But does it matter to you where a member of the public service is actually working from, physically. Some exceptions apply, obviously. Passport office, anywhere where you have to deal face-to-face with people in order to do that public service. But there's a lot of public service that, you know, is done behind the scenes. Does it really matter to you whether they're calling you from home or working on your file from home or doing whatever they do from home or the office or their cottage or their RV? And if you work in private sector, you know what I'm talking about. You probably do a lot of work from just about anywhere your little heart desires, so long as it's permitted. So if you're a public service employee, first off, how comfortable are you with the idea of returning to the office? Because that's what the rumor is. That in some way, shape, or form, in the next little while, you are going to be returning to the office. And if you're not a public service employee, first off, if you're a private sector employee, are you back at the office? How comfortable are you being there? Okay, my other question is, do you believe you are better served by employees in our public service being in the office or at home? Does it even matter to you? All right, now I can't speak to any of the federal public services, like passports, etc. I can certainly speak on a provincial level, because last week I was at Service Ontario to register the RV, change the ownership, etc. And you know what? Look, the place is fully staffed. Now, they had masks on. There was plexiglass between you and them, but it felt safe. It felt fine. I was well served and looked after, and I don't think anybody had any concerns. Passport offices, I know, are open. UI offices are open as well. Now, when it comes to dealings with things like CRA, anybody that touches anything that's private and confidential, health, obviously, which is, of course, a provincial thing, yeah, I don't want them at home. I want some sort of assurance that the phone I am talking to them on is not a cell phone, that it's not a cordless phone. It is their home phone. I need some assurance of that. Now, there's been no announcement, just varying media reports, which Public Service Alliance of Canada says, if true, a mandatory back-to-office order would be an egregious violation of the workers' collective bargaining rights. Do you agree with that statement? Oh, by the way, my niece has locked herself out of the house right now. She's standing at the door, ringing the doorbell, driving the dog crazy. Wow. Okay. Sorry, that's a heck of a distraction. The Treasury Board was expected to issue a mandate soon that would require all federal public service employees to return to the office for a minimum number of days per week and spell out conditions for exemptions. Okay, so the PSAC union is estimating that as many as 80% of its employees are working either a hybrid work week or working completely from home. Does it matter to you where your public service workers are working from? 613-604-6464. As I feel rotten now for not putting the show on hold and running upstairs to let my niece into the house for which she has a key for. It's the worst feeling ever. Let's go to your comments. Yes, of course they should return to the office, says Craig. The office is rented or owned by the taxpayers. Like I said, if I'm the BIA, I want my workers back downtown. If I run a restaurant downtown, I want them back. Absolutely. Satan's Playmate says, if they deal directly with the public, then yes, you can't trust that they have a trusted internet for secure files. See, that was my concern. I had some dealings with the CRA, and the person, of course, starts the conversation by saying, just so you know, I'm working from home and I'm on a cell phone. Does that make you uncomfortable? Yes. Yes, it does. Again, if I'm talking to someone who I know is working at an office, whether it's in Moncton or Winnipeg or Edmonton or downtown Ottawa, I have some reasonable assurance that they're on a secure-ish line. As for public servants, as F. Van Boxtel, many have no need to deal with the general public. The ones that do should be in the office. The government can save a ton of money by having workers at a home office. Save the planet from cars on the roads, too. I call that a win. Yes, from an environmental standpoint, that is certainly better. But, again, if you're running a business in downtown Ottawa, right? Like, if you're a merchant on the Spark Street Mall right now, you're missing those employees being in the office in a big, bad way. Kathy says, yes, it's time for the public service to get back into the office full time. Honestly, it's time for everyone to get back to work. All right. 613-604-6464 is the number. And no, I did not update the website today, so we don't have the video camera link up. Ah, I got a million things going on. I got to focus. I need anybody who's got, you know, the will to work from home and wants to do this on a volunteer basis, help me out putting up links, etc. Get in touch. Joshua says, Oh gosh, this is distracting. I know you're locked out. I can't help you. Productivity is probably up away from the office. No need to drive. Save on gas. If you don't need to be in an office and your job is getting done, what does it matter where it's being done? I'm hearing that a lot, hence the question. Of course, the catch-22 of that, as mentioned, is it certainly affects all the businesses, etc., downtown. What becomes of the downtown core in Ottawa, for example, or the downtown core in Gatineau on the whole side, if we just suddenly abandon working from the office? We're talking about moving our hockey arena downtown Ottawa, which, you know, people have screamed and yelled in this town for years and years and years, needs to be done. I don't want to commute all the way to Kanata from downtown, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, okay. Now we move the arena downtown, but there's nobody working downtown. I mean, we need to, you know, we're building this LRT system in order to move people in and out of our downtown more efficiently and greener and cleaner, et cetera. So these are a lot of questions that we need to sort of consider when, you know, when asked, does it really matter to you? Does it? I think on the surface, no, it doesn't really matter to me, except the overall well-being of my city, especially the downtown core, certainly seems to depend on that. Ann's comment has been on the screen for a while. Let me get to that for those listening on the air. Yes, or on the radio stream. Yes, the public service should be back in the office. I don't want to hear the whole family in the background while trying to get stuff looked after. Okay, so you're talking about the person who's on the other end of that phone call when you have to deal with public service. But not everybody is in the public service is working the phones, etc. A lot of them, you know, are doing accounting work, research work, etc., and never have any reason to be on a phone call with you or I. I'd say sell the properties and turn them into low-cost housing. Taxpayer win. Well, except for the fact that the taxpayer has to then pay for that. So it's not really a win, at least not from the very beginning. It doesn't seem to be a win. Chris Fraser is calling in right now. Chris, I appreciate you very much calling in. 613-604-6464. How you been, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm sexy. Thanks for asking.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, you were at the Sens game last night, weren't you, to see the new Ring of Honor with Wade Redden put up there. Where is the Ring of Honor in the arena? Is it like the top level? Like, is it different from where the Stanley Cup banners and retired jerseys hang, Chris?
I was in the office last night, but from what I could tell from the video feed, it looks like it's at the top at the 300 level at the very, very top of the arena.
So the very top ring, apropos. Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know that was a side note. What's your opinion? Does it matter? First off, does it matter to you where a public servant is physically situated when they're doing their job?
Kind of yes and no. That part of the question is tough because, well, first of all, I was a public servant until about a year ago. And I can say is teleworking was already common in my department and most departments before the pandemic.
Okay.
So, for example, in my division, it was quite normal to come in to work and, you know, say John Milkey would be off today because he's working from home on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And he'd be in the office on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And lots of people had that arrangement anyways. So to me, this whole thing is a big ado about nothing because telework was already common and people were already working on an average of twice a week from home already. So I don't understand why the union is making such a big fuss over this.
Interesting. And I think, you know, I mean, us in the media doing what I've done for all my life, you know, there's always the, you know, take that. You know, have that joke. It's Friday. What are you even doing in the office? You work for the public service. Ha, 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 ha.
Right.
Because there is that illusion. But I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's a little bit of truth to that. I mean, we all have to admit the public service certainly, you know, are in a more fortuitous position than most private sector workers when it comes to days off, et cetera, banking holidays. You know, and come summertime, they certainly, you know, seem to be able to take long weekends, et cetera, pretty much every single weekend. But I hear what you're saying. You know, and it is. It's interesting that, you know, yeah, I can telework. And, you know, so, I mean, if you're on the front lines, obviously, and I think when people think of the public service, if they're not in the public service, that's kind of where their brain goes to, right? Is that face-to-face encounter at the UI office or at,
right.
Yeah, or if I'm getting a passport, that kind of thing. But that would be a very small percentage of our public service that would be on that front line, would it not?
Probably. That's probably maybe only like 20%. You know, the other 80% are working in offices where they don't come in direct contact with the public, which was my situation. Between all the years I worked in the government, I wasn't really dealing with the public,
right.
You know, directly.
Right.
I was just dealing with other public servants. So
fun.
But I also think, what was that?
I said fun.
Fun, yeah.
I'm being facetious. Fun. Some of them are fun.
But I actually miss being in the office. Like I enjoyed, obviously there was days when it's like minus, you know, 20 and it's snowing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to put your boot and your coats on and then trudge through the snow and everything to get to work. Yeah, those days aren't fun.
You're right. That's not fun for everybody. That's not fun for anybody, regardless of where you work or what you do. There's a lot of those days where I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I get it.
Yeah. But a couple of points I have here. First of all, I think the employer, whether it's the Treasury Board, public service, or your private sector employer, every employer has the right to say where you're going to be working from.
Sure.
So I don't understand the union making a big fuss saying, oh, it's not in our collective agreement. Well, it was never in your collective agreement before. And all of a sudden you're saying you have the right to work from home.
Well,
if I'm the employer and I say you have to come into this office,
this right.
is where the job is.
And to that, PSAC's argument here is that remote work is a critical issue at the bargaining table this round, not only for PSAC, but for hundreds of thousands of workers from all federal bargaining agencies. So due to the pandemic and due to, you know, respiratory viruses and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, this is now a bargaining chip. And don't forget, our public service right now is without a contract, right? They haven't had one since 2021. So it's being used as a
right.
bit of a bargaining chip, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Yeah. But once again, it gets back to the beginning of the argument. It's like a circular argument. It's like we had telework in my department, which is public works. So I'm sure other departments had, I know other departments had telework agreements too. So they're trying to negotiate something that was basically already there. But I mean, if you want it now moving forward, I can understand if the union's saying, moving forward, we want to guarantee that our workers will be able to work from home. That part I'm okay with if they want to include that in the future.
So could the government
but
then
right now it's
could
like,
would that then but the government, aka you and I as the taxpayer, in a position to say, okay, you want to work from home? Well, you're no longer commuting, so you don't have those costs anymore. You're not eating in restaurants downtown. You don't have those costs anymore. So if you want to continue on in the public service, a job that paid you, let's just use, you know, numbers for the sake of using numbers, you know, we're no longer going to pay you $50,000. That position is now $42,000 a year.
Yeah, boy. That argument wouldn't go over well with the
union. No, I know it wouldn't, which is why I'm asking it. I'm trying to stir the pot a little bit on that. But, I mean, in a private sector negotiation, that would certainly be part of the argument in renegotiating a contract. Look, you know, we were paying you to come into the office and there was parking involved. And, you know, obviously, you know, we expect there's, you know, going to be some meals consumed downtown while you're here. Well, you don't have those same expenses. So we're offering you the job, but we want to pay you $8,000 a year less. Doesn't make it right, but the argument could be made, couldn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's a fair argument to make that, yeah, you're not incurring all these expenses, including having to buy a bus pass every month, which is like $120 now, I think. So, like, yeah, you're saving over $1,000 a year not having to take the bus into work if you're a commuter like I was. So there's a big savings there. That argument can be made by the employer.
I'm fascinated by the whole, you know, telework thing, which has been ongoing anyway, but you never saw it at a level where the entire office was doing that. At least, you know, there were still some people in the office. Like, would there not be offices in downtown Ottawa and across the country, for that matter, where there haven't been anybody except maybe a maintenance worker even set foot on that floor in a year or two?
Yeah, that's a good point, because the building that I used to work in was a Place de Portage. You know, people tell me like the bottom floor is like a ghost town now, and like there's so many shops down there and coffee shops and restaurants and things, and I'm pretty sure those are all done because there's not enough traffic. And that's really a shame too. Like, I used to support those small businesses.
Well, sure.
And, you know, and what are those people doing now? Like,
is that the government's place to ensure that we put the public service back in those buildings in order to help keep our downtown vibrant and alive? And that's, you know, that's kind of what I was getting at earlier. Because, if I'm the Spark right. Street BIA or the Bank Street BIA or, you know, the Byward Market, Gatineau, whatever, I really want government workers back in town. And I also brought up the new hockey rink going in downtown. Apparently, the whole purpose, the whole idea of that is that, well, we should put it where it should have always been, right next to where our biggest employer is, so that people can get to it very, very easily. Well, is that even important now?
Right.
If the public service is not going to go back to the office, if we're going to say, look, we've recognized the new world. Look, I'm doing radio from home. You can hear me anywhere in the world. Right. And a lot of radio stations are and this is just one example of an industry that's adapted. There are a lot of conventional radio stations right now where their people are working from home. You know, or they're bringing in voices from, Chris, I do a show in Sarasota, Florida. I've never been to Florida. Right. I mean, the technology allows it now. So it's an interesting time to be having this debate. And, you know, all of it came about, of course, obviously due to COVID-19. But anyway, so at the end of the day, does it matter to you?
Right.
Save for, you know, the face-to-face dealings with things like the passport office. Does it really matter to you, Chris? And I'm not asking Chris, the former public service employee. I'm asking Chris, the member of the public. Does it really matter to you where somebody in the public service is physically situated when they're doing their job?
Technically, no, it doesn't matter to me where they are as long as the job is being done. I think that an argument can be made, though, that I think that you're a different type of worker when you're at home than you are when you're in the office. For me personally, and I've said this to people the last couple of years, it's like there's something about having to leave your house, you get on the bus or get into the car and go to an office that makes you maybe a little bit more productive, actually, because you've made the effort to get there. So once you're there, you feel like, okay, I got to be productive because I didn't come here for nothing.
More pressure to perform. The eyeballs are on you, right?
Exactly. You know, when you think about the eyeballs, for example, I was pretty flexible where I was. So like at lunchtime, for example, I would go down to the gym maybe and do a quick workout for an hour, and then you want to be back at your desk by 1 o'clock. And then sometimes, you know, you'd see somebody on the way back to the office and you'd be chatting for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, it's 10 after 1, I better get back to the office, because it's not as if the boss is always watching you, but even your other colleagues, they'll see you coming in with your gym bag, it's 1:15, oh, look at him coming in. So you can get away with that at home.
But I think, Chris, you know, we could ask that question to 100, you know, different public service employees or workers in general. And just, I think 50% of people would say I do better at home, and 50% would say I do better in the office. I tend to think that if I'm going into an office and I know that the boss can wander by or coworkers have got their eyes on me, it probably keeps me a little more honest, you know, but I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Chris, I want to thank you for the phone call. It's good to chat. You've been on my mind a lot. I know that you and I have talked about grabbing a quick little coffee. And Chris, by the way, has filled in on the Nick and Joe show from time to time. If his voice is familiar, you're someone I want to talk to about some ideas I have on BTR. So that's happening as soon as I can free up some time, Chris. I promise. I keep promising you that, but I do. Yes. I promise that the promise remains a promise, if that makes sense.
I'll keep on you for that. I'll keep on you.
Please do. Please do. And if we don't get a chance to talk again, Merry Christmas. Okay. Happy holidays to you. Hope all is well in your world, sir. All right, Chris. This is an awesome dude. Let's get to some of the comments. Again, I've got my niece banging on the door wanting it. I feel so bad. I don't quite understand. Did they think they would get to work at home forever? Not realistic. Also, I dispute the productivity statement because look at what is happening with the passport office. I believe a lot of the problems are because too many of the people are still at home. Also, what about CRA and Heron Road? The parking lot is empty, so most of them are still at home. Not everyone has good enough work ethic to do that, let's face it, unless their supervisor has measurable delivery. Yeah, see, that goes exactly to what we're talking about. And by the way, if you work at CRA, I don't really want somebody from CRA having my personal information at home. That does not sit well with me. Tracy says, nope, doesn't matter as long as they get the job done. Back to Hine. He says, I know many a public servant and have found that some are more productive working from home, less time spent at the water cooler, but there is good and bad in any situation, as Chris and I just discussed there. Eric says, are the public service workers willing to take a drop in pay? Their costs are reduced, lunch, clothing, transportation, etc. Eric and I are on the same page on that. Gary says, no office politics. Linda, get back to the office. However, if people are sick, stay home. That is important. See, that's an interesting argument, Linda, and I know Linda works in the private sector. That is an interesting argument. So more allowances for people to say, you know what, I'm not feeling well. I don't want to risk the health of my coworkers. But there are some people, as you know, who show up at the office. They don't realize that they're carrying a virus until a couple of days later, and by then the damage is done. All right, Murray. Murray, nice to see you again. I was wondering if you would show up on It's Your Call. It's good to see you. If you had a better transit system, she would have made it home on time, and if you lived in a safe, you know, your neighbor, you could have unlocked the doors. Listen, I do. I live in a very safe neighborhood. No problem there. I just like my doors locked, and I gave her a key for a reason. Gary says you can jam in quite a few beds out at the Canadian Tire Center. Okay, well, that's true. So turn that into a homeless shelter is what you're saying? I've wondered what would become of the current Canadian Tire Center. CRA employees and several others are working from home. Yes, again, I've dealt with people from CRA working from home. I hate that my name can be sitting on a file on somebody's desk at home. I don't want that. No matter how well bonded they are and no matter how well intentioned they are, I just don't feel comfortable with my name and my business information, etc., sitting on somebody's computer at their computer at home, and they can wander off and God knows who, their cleaner or, you know, plumber or somebody in the house can access that. It makes me uncomfortable, and maybe I'm overthinking that. Bill says, what these workers don't get is if this continues, their jobs won't be in Ottawa, but in Liberal ridings across Canada. Well, Ottawa's a pretty big Liberal riding. I don't know if you've seen how Ottawa votes. Gary says, the Melnick Memorial Hospital, free parking after checking us all these years. Stay sexy. Oh, my God. The man is dead. Can we just... Ann says, I heard the union asking for more money for workers to compensate for the extra money spent on heating, hydro, internet, etc. while working at home. Oh, yeah. See, there we go. Round and round and round. This is why I could never be at the negotiation table. My head would explode. Chris says, I don't give a crap where they work. I don't think we should halt the evolution of how we work because downtown businesses may be impacted. Anyone who can be productive from home has my blessing to do so. Laura, the idea that the public servant needs to be sitting in a leased office to be effective is outdated. No one interrupts me unless I allow that interruption. Now I might be the only one who works on their vacations and takes operational calls at 4 a.m., however. Let's go to Tracy, and I got to move along quickly because I need to be at Bingo Land for the seniors' dinner today. Elvis is counting on me to get the sound system up and running. Yes, the seniors have their dinner, by the way, from 3:30 till 5:30 today. This is my life lately. You wonder why I'm not able to do the show a couple of days, because I have ridiculous fun, but ridiculous commitments that I need to adhere to. Tracy says, I can't DJ at Bingo from home. I actually have to physically go there. Tracy says, anyone who works at anything that can be done from their home should be able to do so if that is their choice. Not just public servants. Interesting. Nobody making $50,000 a year could afford lunch downtown on a regular basis, says Gary. Okay. Kathy says, agree. If the government employees don't want to get back to their offices, then yes, cut back their wages. Okay. Mary says, try working like slaves in the West in minus 40 outside to provide all the equalization money for the East. Then talk about how the government workers should have the right to work from home. Julie says, government worker here. I was in the office last Thursday and the office was full and there is talk. We are being mandated to go back to the office, but in my building, a lot have already gone back. Hello to Chris from Craig. Laura says, terrible argument to be paid less. I could make triple my salary in the private sector. It doesn't matter how hard I work. I do not make bonus. I do not get a raise. I stay because serving Canadians is important. Junior, the government has a real opportunity to innovate with the downtown core. We have an affordable housing crisis in Ottawa, and those buildings can be used to address that. Let's make the core a place that people who want to go to for leisure activities rather than having to go there for work. Interesting. That'll take some time, obviously, to make that happen. We have had that since Ottawa was named the capital. It has been, the downtown core has been where everybody goes to work. Honestly, John, I didn't think about the impact it could make to supporting businesses, so this is a hard decision. It really doesn't matter where they work from as long as the work gets done efficiently and cost-effectively. Look, it's obviously a concern. It has to be a concern about the businesses downtown. We rely on them. We want to support them, but those businesses, may have to adapt and move their businesses to outlying areas in order to serve a different community. But boy, the pain in the short term for that. All right, running over time, and like I said, I do have to go. I want to get a few more comments in, and she's still ringing the doorbell, by the way. Michelle says, good Lord, public sector workers already get paid too much of my tax dollars to do their jobs, usually incompetently. They should have to get their butts into the office like everyone else in the private workforce. Well, so not everybody in the private workforce is having to go right back into the office. Gary's addressing some of the comments from Kathy earlier on. Texting without my glasses on, says Craig. I work better at home, says Karen. I used to work for CRA, and they tracked our time, and you could get docked for being late. Now they're working from home using cell phones and laptops. Yeah, I had a phone call from somebody at CRA the other day. I'm on a cell phone. Does that bother you? It really does. Guys, gals, people who don't subscribe to any gender, thank you so much for being here for It's Your Call. I apologize for the confusion and the nuttiness that is going on around me. But you know what? It is what it is, and that's the world today. It's nutty everywhere. Let's have another conversation tomorrow here on It's Your Call.